This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى المجتبى. My dear respective brothers and sisters, it's always a pleasure to be invited to this wonderful masjid, Masjid al-Furqan, a masjid who really goes out their way to benefit the masses, the community, the youngsters. And I've seen, mashallah, the transitions that the message has gone through in how they have put together so many different effective programs for the youngsters especially. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward the administration of this masjid and to keep them, inshallah ta'ala, steadfast. And I ask Allah azza wa jalla to allow them to continue being a benefit for the community. As you brothers and sisters are aware, today our topic is about April Fools and the month of Ramadan. And some of you are probably thinking, how does the April Fool's Day connect with the month of Ramadan? And this is what we're here to discuss, inshallah ta'ala. Because of course, I could have picked any of the very well-known generic topics that I think most people have already heard about. But there is a different aspect that I would like to tackle related to the month of Ramadan. Normally when we think Ramadan, my beloved brothers and sisters, the first thing that pops to mind is staying away from food and drink, right? If you look at the ta'rif, the definition of a sawm, lughatan, it means al-imsak, to withhold from something. And istilahan, the technical meaning is imsakun makhsus, biniyatin makhsusa, fi zamanin makhsus, min shakhsin makhsus. It is a specific type of one withholding from something, which that individual now withholds from at a specific time. And it's done with a specific intention from a specific person. And this is what normally tends to pop to mind. However, my beloved brothers and sisters, we are walking into the month of Ramadan. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. Is that the only thing that we need to abstain from? That we need to leave off when we are fasting? There is two types of things that one needs to stay away from. The first type is that which is going to nullify your fast. Food, drink, sexual intercourse, and all of the other invalidators of fasting. And then there is a spiritual side to it. Another aspect that one needs to refrain and abstain from. And that is, my brothers and my sisters, that which is going to either diminish what you attain from the month of Ramadan in reward, or cause it to disappear altogether. Imagine, my brothers and my sisters, right? We're in year 2022, sah, Ramadan. You turn up on Yawm al-Qiyamah and all of this hard work has gone to waste. All of that Qiyam, all of that Siyam, all of that Quran that you read, all of that charity that you paid has become what? Haba'an manthura, scattered particles. And that is because maybe due to something that you uttered with your tongue or you done with your limbs. And this is the second type that one needs to refrain from. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَصُمْ سَمْعُكَ وَبَصَرُكَ وَلِسَانُكَ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَآثِمِ وَدَعْ أَذَى الْخَادِمِ. He said, when you fast, then make sure that your hearing is fasting as well. And also your eyes are fasting. And your tongue is fasting. عَنِ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَآثِمِ. Fasting from what? Withholding and abstaining from what? Lying and all types of sins. How many of us, my beloved brothers and sisters, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's sit amongst ourselves and really ponder and reflect, when the month of Ramadan kicks in, how many of us really depart from the month of Ramadan having bettered ourselves spiritually? Or is it just about, alhamdulillah, I stayed away from food and drink, I managed to get through the heat of the summer while fasting. He breaks it at Maghrib time, and khalas, another day starts. And he may have been watching Netflix from the moment he woke up all the way up until he broke his fast. Or he was sitting in front of the computer playing PS whatever, I don't know what number it's on at the moment. PS5, I think, sah? Or is there 6 now? 5. PS5. Or just sitting around, engaging in that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or on your phone all day long. Social media. One post to the next. Scrolling. Picture of the opposite gender appears and you look at it more than you should be in the month of Ramadan. And one thing leads to another. You keep staring at her. Or she keeps staring at him. And before you know it, he slips into her DM. And then the unexpected takes place, right? They get together in the month of Ramadan. We're having to deal with scenarios and cases. Countless times I've been contacted, especially on Instagram. A brother or a sister saying, I committed zina in the month of Ramadan. What do you advise me? What shall I do? Tayyib, when you investigate a little bit of how this came about, we started with social media. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Zina al-aynayn, al-nadhar, wa zina al-lisan, al-nutq. The zina of the eye is to look. And the zina of the tongue is what? To have inappropriate conversations with the opposite gender. Or what they call to chirps. That's what you guys call it, right? Or has that word been updated? I think this is a very old-fashioned word that we used to hear back in Leicester. I'll put it in a more formal way. Huh? Having inappropriate conversations with the opposite gender. I think everybody understands what I'm referring to. Whether it is on social media or whether that is in real life. And what I mean by real life is in person. All of this, my beloved brothers and sisters, is really just destroying our Ramadan. How many opportunities do we need? Just yesterday I was telling some of our brothers in Masjid al-Furqan in Leicester, our relatives who may have shared a plate with us last Ramadan or the Ramadan before us, they are not going to be here with us today. How many fatalities have we experienced in our communities, in our families, immediate relatives, extended relatives? And the numbers just keep on growing. This corona, this pandemic, how many people has it put into the grave? Just in the last year and a half, my beloved brothers and sisters, I've lost 3 young relatives. 3 young relatives. One of them was my younger brother, as many of you guys are aware, stabbed in the neck, died at the tender age of 24. 6-7 months after that, another relative of mine, cousin in Birmingham, died in a car crash, 23 years of age. I buried both of them. And I gave an Islamic reminder at both of their graves. And then the third, I received the news while I was doing Umrah, when I went back to continue my studies in Saudi. At the age of 18, stabbed in the chest, broad daylight on one of the most busiest roads in Birmingham, Coventry Road. Heart of Birmingham, right? Small heath, where all the masajid are, where all the restaurants are. 3 in a very short space of time. Most of the brothers here around that age, I see a lot of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, all the way up until 25, the majority of brothers here are of that age category. They are not going to be with us this Ramadan. Brothers who are sitting here, we might not see you the next Ramadan. Does anyone have a guarantee that he's going to live up to the age of 60 and 70? Sometimes we become deluded, right? Thinking that age only goes, that death only goes after those who are older in age. Take this as a qaid, as a principle. Death does not discriminate due to age. Doesn't discriminate. When your time is up, your time is up. And then he will just live with regret. In your grave, regretting, I wish I'd done more. And then you're brought on Yawm al-Qiyamah, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh Allah, take me back. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا. So that I can do some more righteous acts. Even Allah tells, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ. Remind them about the day of regret. That's one of the names of the hereafter. Brothers, take opportunity. Take this opportunity that you have. Take advantage of it. Don't let another Ramadan just go by and you've wasted it. So going back to the point I was trying to make, Ramadan is more than just staying away from food and drink. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as I mentioned, and this statement should be written in golden ink. Everyone should go maybe buy a small little board and stick it on his wall. Because this is what, let's be honest with ourselves, what we struggle most with. Not necessarily food and drink. Everyone stays away from food and drink. It's more what we do with our eyes. What we do with our tongues. What we do with our ears. How many of us still struggle to stay away from music in the month of Ramadan? Even though the scene has been set, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. The doors of Jannah are swung open. The doors of hellfire are slammed shut. And the shayateen are tied up and chained. Someone may ask the question, I was discussing this yesterday, how is it that someone still commits sins in the month of Ramadan, even though the shayateen have been locked up? Even though the shayateen have been locked up. The scholars, they mention many different meanings. One of the best interpretations that I came across was, because we're so used to bad habits outside of the month of Ramadan, we bring it into the month of Ramadan. We're just so used to it. In the month of Ramadan, we want to introduce new habits into our lives, new wonderful, praiseworthy traits, not to add to what already we are carrying of baggage. We're going to be crying our eyes out, Ya Allah, forgive me. And that's when our mawdu' of April Fool's Day comes in. This is one of the first times, I think, that I've come back to the country in the month of March. Normally I always come at the end of April. Because Ramadan always goes back, right? And as I was looking at the calendar, April, subhanAllah, a topic that I've been wanting to discuss for a very long time. Because it's become more than of a pandemic than the coronavirus, ah? Do you guys agree? Jokes, ridiculing, mocking the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal has just been so normalized, and we have become so desensitized to being spectators of it, watching it and laughing. Ha ha ha, it's so funny. On platforms such as TikTok, Instagram, it's videos like that, that accumulate a lot of views. Do you guys agree? And subconsciously, we don't even feel anything anymore. It just creeps in to be what? Something perfectly normal. And we forget, or should I maybe say, we don't even realize how bad it is. And today I want to, inshallah ta'ala, mention 6 conditions of joking. But before I do that, I want to speak a little bit about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our qudwa, our example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a perfect example. In every aspect of our religion, we find that the Sharia is complete in every manner, in every aspect. We have something about it. Now the question that arises, what kind of individual was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Was he somebody who was despondent, moody, grumpy? Or was he somebody who was a very pleasant person to have around, was jolly, was bubbly? Which of the two was he? And likewise, again, we find that in the Sharia, describing to us how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. There was an incident that one time took place between the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He came back from al-Baqi'a, from a funeral prayer. And he walked into the home, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she began to complain about the headache that she was experiencing. And she said, Ya Awa Ra'sah. She said, Wa Ra'sah. It's a type of expression, huh? Which shows that one is maybe experiencing a headache. Wa Ra'sah. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bal ana wa ra'sah. Rather, even myself, I'm experiencing a headache. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started making a joke with her. And he said, Ma darraki law mitti qabli faghassaltuki. Would there be a problem if you died before me? And then I washed you, وَكَفَّنْتُكِ, and then I shrouded you. ثُمَّ صَلَّيْتُ عَلَيْكِ, and then I prayed your funeral prayer. فَدَفَنْتُكِ, and then after that I bury you. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, as perhaps maybe every woman would do, she turned around to him and she said, huh, rather what you would do, wallah, لَرَجَعْتَ إِلَى بَيْتِي, would go back to my house. فَأَعْرَسْتَ فِيهِ بِبَعْضِ نِسَائِكِ. You'd go back to my home, huh? You'd get together with your wife and you would start enjoying yourself with them. Of course, she was taken by jealousy, غيرة, of what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do after she departs from this world. You would go back home, in my house, and you would enjoy yourself with the rest of your wives. Just that thought. Ask any woman. I think a lot of brothers are married here, right? Or a lot of you brothers, masakin. Huh? May Allah marry you all off. Ameen. But just even bring up this topic of second wife. Look at the kind of reaction you're going to get. This is why some wives, they make dua, Ya Allah, let me die the same time my husband passes away. Because she doesn't even want to think about who he will marry or what he will do after she departs from this world. Ala kulli hal, this is not a discussion about women. And the point is, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a sense of humor, even with his wife. Right? There was even another occasion when a woman, she was in fact pretty old, she came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, ud'u Allah li an yudkhilani al-jannah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me from those who enter into al-jannah. So he said to her, Inna al-jannata la tadkhuluha ajuzun. An old woman will not enter into Al-Jannah. She looked at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in shock. And she began to cry. And in some narrations, she began to cry loudly. And she started walking away. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a messenger to her and explained that when the women are admitted to Al-Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jalla, as he mentions, Inna ansha'nahunna insha'a faj'alnahunna abkara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the way they look, and they will enter into Al-Jannah as young virgin women. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their appearance. But he just wanted to make, you know, had a bit of sense of humor, if you want to call it that, with this old woman that came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another incident, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to work for him. And he began to call him and say, Ya dhal udhunan. Everybody has ears, right? But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to call him by saying, Ya dhal udhunan, oh you who has two ears, come. Playing around and joking with those who are at his service. Even one time the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found his son-in-law, and also he is his cousin, right? Ali ibn Abi Talib, lying down in the masjid. And all the dust, the soil had transferred onto his body. And he told him, wake up, wake up. Qum, ya Aba Turab, O father of the dirt. O father of the soil. O father of the sand. Another incident likewise. The companion, Usayd ibn Hudayr, he was known as the one who makes the jokes amongst the companions. كَانَ فِي مِزَاح. It's to play around. In every circle, you always find the guy who, I don't want to call him a joker, because that doesn't have a positive connotation, but the guy who makes everybody laugh and he's the bubbly one. Put your hand up if you're that person. There's always that one brother, mashallah, that really puts a smile on everyone's face. While everyone's moody, gloomy, looking dejected, he comes, makes a joke, and then he makes everybody laugh. Sometimes you need people like that around. But he shouldn't be somebody who does it excessively, but which we'll come on to, inshallah ta'ala, later on. So Usayd ibn Hudayr was that kind of person. And as he was playing around and joking with his companions, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a oud, small little stick like that, and he began to poke him in his khasir, in this area of his body. Began to poke him. And then Usayd, he turned around and said, Ya Rasulullah, it's my turn. It's my turn to do that. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to wait. Because he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was wearing clothes and he wanted to lift his clothing so he can do the same thing. You know, when you kill somebody, there is what? Qisas. Right? Capital punishment. An eye for an eye, an ear for an ear. So he was like, it's my turn now to do my payback. So subhanAllah, after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uncovered whatever he was wearing, Usayd grabbed him and he began to kiss him on that side of his body. He said, Ya Rasulullah, innama aradtu an af'ala dhalik. That's all I wanted to do, O Messenger of Allah. This, my brothers and my sisters, is a lesson in the kind of person the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Sometimes we want to study the shama'il, right? How the Messenger sallallahu alayhi has conducted himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like that. Even Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, innaka tuda'ibuna. Indeed, O Messenger of Allah, you play with us, you joke with us. And then he said, Na'am. Walakinnani la aqulu ghayra al-haq. But rather, I don't say anything other than the truth. Even another example, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a friend who was called Aba Umair. And Aba Umair, he used to have a little bird that he used to look after. And then this bird passed away. So whenever the Messenger saw him, he would say, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'al al-Nughayr? He would make a rhyme. Oh Aba Umair, what did Nughayr do? This is the name of his bird. Look how the Messenger would engage even with the young ones. It's not praiseworthy just because now you have some sort of high position in the community, right? That you start belittling the people around you, or you never engage with the youngsters, or you just treat them wujuduhum ka'adamihim. Their presence is like they don't even exist. How they engaging with them, right? Or maybe going as far as kicking them out of the masajid if they're making a little bit of noise. You know the reality is, brothers? The same young man that we beg to come back into the masjid might be the same child that we kicked out, or that we made feel insignificant. Might be well that same one that we're going to be begging later on come into the masjid. So the way you treat the people, especially if you have a position in the masjid, could go a very, very long way. Wallahi, it could be one move that ends up leading them out of the masjid and they might not ever feel comfortable to walk into the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. House of Allah. This is not your house or the house of your dad or your grandparents. It's the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. As much as you have a right to be in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, they have that right as well. And there's a way to go about changing an evil. A lot of brothers have previously come up to me and they're about saying we feel uncomfortable walking to the masjid. As soon as we walk in, everyone's just giving us dirty looks. He might be a brother who is not maybe necessarily leading the best of lives, but he wants to walk into the masjid and pray. The masjid is not just for practicing people. It's for everyone. Even the prostitute has every right to walk into the masjid and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she shouldn't be looked at, oh, why are you not wearing hijab? Let her come into the masjid. It's the house of Allah. Remember that. Next time you make somebody feel uncomfortable just because his hair is a certain way, remember this. So ala kulli hal, point that I'm making is, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that kind of persona with them, with him. He was easily approachable. He knew how to engage with them accordingly. Just like that Bedouin that urinated in the masjid. Look how he treated him. And I'm sure most of us have come across that story before. Imagine the Bedouin just walks in and starts urinating. Imagine, brothers, this actually happened in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid. You know that? I witnessed it. A man just picked up his thobe and started urinating. And you know what happened? No one done anything. I was like, Allahu Akbar. Look at the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 1400 years ago, it's happening right here. Everyone just turned around. I remember I looked at everyone. They stopped looking at him. He finished. The cleaners came, cleaned it. They just helped him out of the masjid. Wa hakadha. Subhanallah. And remember, the difference between the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and today is that we have carpets. Remember, they came and started cleaning the carpets. They took it, they changed it. Look how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with that Bedouin who started urinating. And how maybe the companions dealt with him. They started hurling towards him. And subhanAllah, in the end, the Bedouin was shocked. He goes, what do they want from me? Why are they treating me like that? And he only ended up making dua for himself and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't have mercy on anyone other than us two. This is the kind of dua that he made. Because of how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated him. Wallahi, really going through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it really, really softens up your heart. Because as Muslims, who are we trying to be like? Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? We live as Muslims trying to be like him, trying to emulate him. We want to imitate him. He's our qudwa. And we want to be sitting side by side with the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you can only do that if you study his sunnah and you take that seriously. Your name is Muhammad, your name is Ibrahim. You're not a roadman. You are an ambassador of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walking on the face of this earth. So live that life of trying to be like him. Because today, the kuffar, they don't read books. Most of the time, they look at the Muslims. This is why the kuffar said, if we want to tarnish al-Islam, we have to create certain personalities that have specific types of beliefs, so Islam can then look extreme. This is why I've heard time and time again, Americans who work for the government saying that we created ISIS. I'm saying this. Just the other day, and I sent it to the students that I was teaching online. One of the generals, who's highly ranked, saying, we created them. Why are they creating this? Because they know when people see those who ascribe to al-Islam behaving a certain way, they'll tarnish al-Islam with that. So you are a Muslim who's carrying a Muslim name, an ambassador of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Be extra careful how you carry yourself. When you walk past the kuffar, the way you walk, the way you move, the way you carry yourself, the way you dress, it's all good, right? Hundreds of people protesting when the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is drawn. Did you see the uproar that happened? And rightfully so, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is someone that we really, really love. It's very dear to our hearts. However, what happened a couple of weeks after that? Mada hasal? Do you guys remember? Everyone just went back to their lives. And life went on as if nothing happened. This guy's eating riba. This guy's committing zina. He's gone back to whatever he was doing before. Mada hasal ma'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What happened to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is not something new. Them doing protests and going crazy and breaking things. Why? Just go back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sunnah. Is this really new? That the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was mocked, that he was ridiculed. Mu'allamun Majnoon, they called him. Called him crazy. They called him every name under the sun. إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا مَسْحُورًا. They're just following a man who has had a magic spell done on him. Called him everything. Made dua against him, they cursed him, and whatever have you. Rather, my brothers and my sisters, the true love is not me holding a banner saying, I love the Prophet. No, but following the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Study the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, brothers and sisters. Take knowledge seriously. MashaAllah, you memorize the Quran. Now study the sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. InshaAllah ta'ala, I'm sure a lot of us have heard of the hadith when the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Muslim ummah is going to split into 73, right? 72 are in the hellfire, only one is going to be saved. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us all from those mentioned. What did the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Man alayhi al-yawm ashabi, that which I'm upon today and also my companions. What I'm upon today, that requires you to really study. What did the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? How did he live? How did he carry himself? Imitate him. Look how today, we as Muslims might imitate the kuffar. There's a rapper that comes out, he has rainbow hair. Today people are doing rainbow hair, sah? He's got the LGBT colors on his hair. He's cutting his hair a certain way, everyone else goes and does it. He wears a certain type of clothing, everyone else goes and does it. I remember the 2002 World Cup. I just remembered now. I think I'll share it. David Beckham. Do you guys remember him? You youngsters are still young. Huh? I don't think you remember him. Even other, remember him, right? Everyone remembers him. He was like the image of England. At the time, he would have this Mohican. Huh? I see some of the elders nodding. Don't worry, you guys are too young. Huh? Well, I remember I came out, everyone started making hair like that. And then in the final, I believe it was 2002, there was Ronaldo. Not this one here, the old one. Has become really big now. Huh? He shaved his whole hair and he only kept this part. Hassan Sheikh. Yeah? He done that. I walk outside, everyone's doing it. They love him. He scored a couple of goals. I think he even ran away with the golden boot. Everyone's imitating him. Some kafir guy. Probably doesn't even clean himself properly. Hada was sidq. When we enter into the lavatory, how do they urinate? Standing up and then he doesn't clean himself. Wallahi, when you study the chapter of istinja, and I teach this, Bulugh Maram, from time to time, I remind the students of the blessing of Al-Islam and how hygienic it is. Days might go by and the guy doesn't wash himself. And he even goes to his family, having intimacy, it's dirty. Al-Islam teaches us to wash ourselves, how to go about doing it. One time a Jew came to the Messenger, came to Salman al-Farisi, Afwan, and he said, قَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ. Your Prophet has taught you everything, even how to defecate, how to use a toilet. He said this in a way to kind of like be sarcastic. Salman al-Farisi said, أَجَلْ. Yes, he did. Taught us what to do, what hand to use, how to clean ourselves. وهذا الشرف, and this is an honor. Every aspect has been explained. And we love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a verse in the Quran, it was called Ayatul Mihna, the verse of examination. You know what this verse was? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you really love Allah Azza wa Jalla, follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, and Allah Azza will love you. Love Allah and His Messenger, then we do what they told us to do. We'll fulfill that to the best of our ability. Right? This verse was called Ayatul Mihna, the verse of examination. To really put you to the test. How much of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen do you love? And how much of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do you love? And Hassan al-Basri, one of the righteous, great scholars of the past, he said, زعموا أنهم يحبون الله ورسوله فابتلاهم الله بهذه الآية. Some people claim that they love Allah and His Messenger, so He tested them with this verse. He tested them with this verse. Go back home, brothers and sisters, really sit down with yourself and reflect. How much of the Messenger of Allah do I love? Of His Sunnah, am I actually implementing in my life? That brings me on to the conditions of. How long do I have? 10 minutes. Subhanallah. I don't think that's fair because when he read Quran, he took some time. Huh? This is now the juicy part of the lecture. The conditions of joking. Now that we've established that Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did make jokes with his companions, did play around with them. He wasn't a moody type of person that we may think. Or how the media portrays him to be a bloodthirsty, barbaric individual who never smiles. And when they draw him, he looks all dejected and angry and furious. La wallah. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajli said, never did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever look at me except that he was smiling. So what are the six conditions? Condition number one, when you do joke, you don't mock the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, my brothers and my sisters, takes you out the fold of Islam. Even if you are joking, don't turn around and say, I was only joking. He knows he's wrong, But then he turns around and says, I was just joking. Why does he take you at the Deen of Islam? There was an incident that took place, I believe the Ghazwa of Tabuk, expedition of Tabuk, where one of the participants of this battle began to make fun of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. You know what he said? مَا رَأَيْتُ مِثْلَ هَؤُلَاءِ. I didn't see anybody like them. لَا أَرْغَبَ بُطُونًا وَلَا أَكْذَبَ أَلْسِنًا وَلَا أَجْبِنْ عِنْدَ اللِّقَاءِ. Those who are, or anyone more than them who is, or should I say, anyone who is more cowardly, lying, and who want food so much, who are more cowardly, lying, and who love to eat more than them people. Is that a joke, brothers and sisters? To say that about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions? That's not a joke. One of the companions heard and he became furious and went running to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By that time, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already informed by way of revelation, and the verses came down. What were the verses? وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. If you ask them why they did that, they would say, was only joking, was only playing. We only said whatever we said to pass time. And Allah says, say to them, O Muhammad, أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِيُونَ. Was it that you mocked Allah, His verses, His signs, and His messenger? لا تعتذروا. Don't make any more excuses. قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. Indeed, you have disbelieved after Iman came to you. And they were joking. And Allah is telling us they've left the fold of Islam. Who got away? He's become a kafir. And we might sit around spectating, laughing and joking, and maybe even forwarding it to others. I remember, subhanAllah, very, very long time ago, right? I was playing football, Leicester, Spinney Hill Park. And then there was his brother. I still see walking around from time to time. And every time he scored, he would turn around and he would do this, pointing to Jesus. He goes, thanks to Jesus. And he would also say every time he scored, the Quran is a Harry Potter book. Quran is a Harry Potter book. This is an example of someone, right, when uttering such statement would expel his own soul from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. People are mocking the salah in videos that they're spreading on TikTok. It's sad. I'm sure every single one of us have come across these kind of videos, right? So number one is that it doesn't involve what? Mockery of the religion. Second one, that when you do joke, you joke truthfully. Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, وَيْلٌ لِلَّذِي يُحَدِّثُ فَيَكْذِبُ لِيُضْحِكَ بِالْقَوْمِ وَيْلٌ لَهُ ثُمَّ وَيْلٌ لَهُ. Woe to the one when he jokes, he lies in order to make people laugh. Woe to him, woe to him. The Messenger of Allah has made dua against him. And what did Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu say to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I mentioned earlier? O Messenger of Allah, innaka tuda'ibuna, you play with us. He said, na'am, yes I do. But I don't say other than the truth when I do joke and play with you. He spoke the truth. The reason why I'm very, very passionate about this topic, my brothers and my sisters, many, many years back, one of my relatives came up to me and he told me that my grandmother, she fell from the balcony. How do you think my reaction is going to be when somebody says that to me? He'll be shocked, sah? And then he turns around and he says, oh, April Fool's Day, and he runs off. Is that really a joke? Is that how we want to be starting our Ramadan? On the first day of Ramadan, or should I say maybe just the night before Ramadan, while you're maybe walking to Taraweeh, you're making these jokes, making fun of others, and mocking the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You might be starting the month of Ramadan and you're not even a Muslim because of you making fun of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the second condition is what? Huh? That you have to be truthful when making that joke. Was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lying when he said that old women don't enter into al-Jannah? When the lady came up to him and she said, Ya Rasulullah, ud'u Allah li an yudkhilni al-Jannah. And he said, oh, old people don't enter into al-Jannah. That was a joke, sah? Is that true? It's true. Sidq. That was the second condition. Third condition was, we haven't taken it yet. أن لا يكون فيه ترويع. When you do joke, you don't terrify the one that you're joking with. How many times have I seen at the bus stop? People are standing around, maybe even classmates. The bus has come in, grabs him, does this and then pulls him back. Sahih? Witnessed that before? And he says, oh, I was just joking, don't get angry. What do you mean don't get angry? He just terrified me. In the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, he mentioned that they were traveling with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to war. One of the companions went to sleep and he had a habl. He had a rope. Right? After he woke up, he was shocked. Where is it gone? He started looking for it. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw this, right, he told the companions who took it for a joke, لا يحل لمسلم أن يروع مسلما. It is not lawful for a Muslim to terrify another Muslim. Sometimes you find, guys running behind you, making these dog noises, or scaring you while you're asleep. Or today, what do? He takes water while somebody's sleeping and he pours it on his face. And then he walks up in shock. He wakes up in shock. TikTok. يحصل ولا لا. This is a reality, brothers. We're not here to speak about generics. We're here to tackle current issues. These are some serious things. That does not fall in line with what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three conditions. What's the fourth condition? That is, do you remember? The first one was mocking. Second one was being truthful. The third one was not terrifying. The fourth one, brothers and sisters, is not to be excessive in the jokes that you make. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تكثر الضحك فإن كثرة الضحك تميت القلب. Don't be excessive in joking. Don't become known as a joker, as a clown. Excessive joking, it kills the heart. See how you feel at times when you're sitting around and you're just engaging in false talk. Making jokes about others and ridiculing this one, that one. See how you feel after that. I felt like that before. I didn't know or understand the reason why. Didn't think that it was haram. But we'd feel that kind of like emptiness in our hearts, right? Perhaps maybe because of that. Even Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنَ الْمِزَاحِ اسْتُخُفَّ بِهِ. Whoever's excessive in making jokes, people will never take him seriously. People will never take him seriously. You'll always be the class clown, the joker. And when you want to be serious, they'll start laughing at you. A bit like the boy who cried wolf. I don't think I need to relate that story. Everybody knows it already. And the Sheikh here, he's trying to give me indirects by looking from time to time. I'm nearly finished. Number five, not mocking and ridiculing others when making jokes. What did Allah Azza wa say in Surah Al-Hujurat, which teaches a lot of etiquettes? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawm. Oh, you who believe, do not mock and ridicule and make fun of one another. Tayyib, what if that individual doesn't mind? Do you mind if I make jokes on you? Because wallah, I don't mind. Allahu Akbar. Doesn't mind. We're living in that kind of society that if you can't take jokes, they make even more of a joke out of you. Sah? I can't take jokes now. Making jokes about his weight or her weight, that's not funny. Even then he's saying to me, wallahi, I don't mind, you can say whatever you want. How do you know he doesn't mind? Wallahi, he's probably really suffering inside, hurt. He's going to go into depression when he goes home, feel insecure about himself, but he just doesn't want to make it apparent to you that this joke is hurting him. Even if he doesn't mind, you have been commanded by Allah Azza wa Jalla not to make these jokes. And not to ridicule him and make fun of him. Walala, Allah told you, oh, you who believe. Are you not somebody who believes? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud would say, right, whenever you hear, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, make sure you listen attentively. فَأَرْعِهَا سَمْعَكَ. Because you're about to be told of something extremely important, something that you're going to be commanded with, and that which you're going to be prohibited from. And you know what's even more worse than that, brothers and sisters? Mocking someone in how Allah Azza wa Jalla created him. The way his nose is. The way his nose is. Is he in control of that? The way his eyes have been created, the way his ears are. Making jokes of him saying dwarf ears. Or he looks like this, or he looks like that. That's how Allah created him. Why did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, لا تسب الريح. Don't curse the wind. Huh? Who can tell me? See who's got Kitab Tawheed on. Huh? Sorry? Yani it is Allah subhanahu that created and sent it. It's ma'mura, umirat. It's been commanded. Huh? To destroy this and to leave that. Sometimes it's unbearable, the wind. You see trees flying around. It's Allah Azza wa Jal that sent it. So if you're now insulting something that doesn't have control over itself, who in reality are you insulting? Allah Azza wa Jal, right? That's how deep it is. That's how profound it is. Also, the Messenger told us, لا تسب الدهر. Do not insult the time. Let me ask you guys a question. The last day before the 1st of January 2022 kicked in, what were the people posting on social media? What were they saying about the previous year that's just gone by? Jazakallah khair. They were insulting it. They were, using profanity, speaking ill. The corona that was sent, who sent it? It was Allah Azza wa Jalla sent it. You now insulting what what the corona caused. It's Allah Azza wa Jalla caused it. And he just used this as a means to either bring good to people's lives, huh, or to test them in many different ways. This is, my brothers and my sisters, a khalal, a deficiency in Tawheed. Study Kitab al-Tawheed and see how many things that we are falling short in. Very quick one, and I'll just give you guys a taste of swearing by your mom's life. I swear down, I swear my mom's life, I swear my nan's grave, I swear on this, I swear on that. Put your hand up if you've fallen into this before. I did as kids. We all used to say that. Why are you guys not raising your voice, acting like you never said it? Everyone has. May Allah forgive us all. But the point of the matter is, it's something that we all fell into. Not knowing how serious it is when the Prophet حَلَفْ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. Whoever swears by other than Allah is falling into shirk. And shirk is worse than what? Murder, zina, riba, all the major sins that we hear about. طيب. So insulting now an individual who looks a certain way, Allah created him like that. His nose is like that because Allah Azza wa Jalla chose that for him. Mocking that, ridiculing that, just because someone is from a certain background, you find others speaking about the way some of his facial features are. اتق الله في نفسك. Number six, last one, اختيار الوقت المناسب. To choose an appropriate time to joke. Is it appropriate for one to be making jokes while you're walking towards the funeral? And I've seen it before. Someone just passed away, and this guy is making jokes with one another. هذا ليس وقتا مناسبا. This is not an appropriate time. Right? You have to choose also a time to be joking with your parents. Again, on TikTok, subhanAllah, youngsters are recording their parents, making fun of them. Some even trip up their parents, and then he puts on social media because he knows he's going to get hit. How is that a joke? A parent? SubhanAllah. The point in me merging these two topics together is Ramadan is very likely to be on the 2nd of April, sah? Or the 3rd. Do we really want to be on the 1st of April, entering into the month of Ramadan, while our Islam is questionable? Is that what we want? La, I don't think anyone wants that. Or we start the month of Ramadan with major sins, falling into that which is extremely, extremely dangerous. The Salaf, and when I say Salaf, I intend by the three golden generations, not people who are breathing today. The Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'ut Tabi'een, those that the Messenger ﷺ told us, are the best of the generations. خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. They are the people that we need to take our religion from. And they are the ones who taught us good etiquettes, not people who are living today that might really tarnish what the truth is. Point that I wanted to make was, what did I want to say? A Salaf in the month of Sha'ban, as Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentioned in his Fath al-Bari, they would rush towards the Masahif. They would be engaging in khair. They would try to get into gear. What happens when you get into a car? Can you put it straight away into gear 5? Gear 1, car drives. 2, 3, 4, 5. And then he can put his foot down. Sah? Very common question that brothers and sisters tend to ask. Oh, I feel like I've already wasted half of my Ramadan. He struggled to get into gear. And that's maybe perhaps because he didn't prepare for it accordingly. He didn't start maybe fasting. This is the month that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, Prophet would fast so excessively. There wasn't a month that he fasted more. Right? Also, the Salaf would be reading the Quran a lot. So by the time Ramadan kicks in, they're already in the groove, in the routine of that. They'd be starting the Qiyam al-Layl, so Taraweeh, and also night prayer becomes easy for them. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from those that benefit from the reminder. I apologize for going over my time. Allah Yahfadhukum.
Do you want to test them about the 6 now or in the Q&A section?
Is there a prize?
I'll give them.
What do you have to offer?
Tenner.
Allah, it's up to you. I don't want to kind of like just barge into your program and,
no,
and start
section.
Calling the shots.
In the Q&A section, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, this is a masjid that is very dear to my heart. Sheikh Abdul Wahab will tell you, I used to come here a very long time ago, do monthly khutbas, right? And this masjid has always been very, very good to me. And it's so, so nice to see so many brothers attending the masjid. I remember how the halaqat used to be. We used to do conferences here, and maybe what, 5-10 people will attend the gatherings. But to see so many glowing faces, it really, really does bring a lot of joy to the heart. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal, if He doesn't gather us again in this dunya, to reunite us in the hereafter. Ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan for hosting me. As the Messenger Allah Alayhi wa Sallam said, لا يشكر الناس من لا يشكر الله. Or should I say, لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس. The one who's not thankful to the people won't be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal. So jazakum Allahu khayran wa ahsan Allahu ilaykum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.